Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a sticker podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream today.
Change has come to America.
Believe it.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Hey. It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
Didn't say what that congresswoman said. Didn't say it at all. She knows it. And she now is not saying it. I did not say what she said. And I'd like her to make the statement again, because I did not say what she said. I had a very nice conversation with the woman, with the wife, who is sounded like a lovely woman. Did not say what the congresswoman said. And most people aren't too surprised to hear that. Let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out. Okay, let her make her statement again, and then you'll find out.
Oh, wow. Okay, so the president said that Frederica Wilson was lying about the phone call and what was said on the phone call, but this just happened. For the second time in, what? A week, October 12th, John Kelly, General John Kelly came out to the podium on October 12th to tell us all that there's no chaos in the White House. He's got this. It's all good. It's all okay. Everybody's getting along. And of course, that is not what the people in the White House are telling the press. That is not what senators are telling the press. That is not what Bob Corker has said. That is not what Jeff Flake has said that he's seen and heard. I mean, the stuff that comes out of the White House is not okay. It's not. It is chaos. It is a president that has no feelings. It is an unraveling of the presidency and of democracy. George W. Bush today sounded sane. I'll play you his clips. He gave a speech too. And Barack Obama is back. He's on the campaign trail in Virginia, campaigning for the Democratic nominee for the Senate. There, but that all aside, I got to tell you that for the second time in a week, the president has shoved John Kelly, and this is really, rare, just in case you're not familiar. The chief of staff never goes into the press room. You don't see this happening except for Trump. You know why? Because Trump wants everybody to go and defend him. It's all about him. What about him? How does he look? How does it make him feel? How, and of course, yesterday he called Frederica Wilson, who knows this family. She knows the LaDavid Johnson, who died. She knows Daisha Johnson, his wife. She knows their children. She knows the aunt who raised LaDavid Johnson, because she's active in the community as a Congress member. And he was mentored in a mentorship program that she set up. All right, so we know that she was in the car because she's close to the family, obviously. And we know that they were in the limousine and they were driving to the airport to pick up LaDavid Johnson's body. And we know that the president did call Maisha Johnson, the LaDavid Johnson's wife. And we know that she put the call on speakerphone. Well, the president decided to shove John Kelly under the bus, as you know, by talking about, ask John Kelly about when his son died, ask John Kelly. And today the president made John Kelly go out to the podium and bring up his son's death and trash this congresswoman. I mean, it was just amazing. So I'm going to play, the first 3 minutes of what he said, and then I'll play you a little bit of the rest of it. But Kelly was thrown under the bus today. Because today, John Kelly admits that he first told President Trump not to call these families. I don't think John Kelly thinks the president is stable enough to deal with a phone call like this, of this nature. And you know, John Kelly's a general and, not an enlisted guy. I mean, there is a very big difference, I have to say. But okay, that conversation could be for another day. But John Kelly told the president of the United States, do not call these families. Just don't do it. But then he continues on and he said, well, the president decided he wanted to do it. But he didn't know what to say, implying that the president has not called other families, which is very interesting in and of itself. So here's what John Kelly said. He said that the president wanted to call anyway, even after he told him not to. General John Kelly told him not to. but he wanted to call anyway, but he didn't know what to say, implying that he had never called a Gold Star family before, all right? And here's what happened.
Then he said, you know, how do you make these calls? If you're not in the family, if you've never worn the uniform, if you've never been in combat, you can't even imagine how to make that call. But I think he very bravely does make those calls. The call in question that he made yesterday, or day before yesterday now, were to four family members, the four fallen. And remember, there's an next of kin designated by the individual. If he's married, that's typically the spouse. If he's not married, that's typically the parents, unless the parents are divorced. And then he selects one of them. If he didn't get along with his parents, he'll select a sibling. But the point is, the phone call is made to the next of kin only if the next of kin agrees to take the phone call. Sometimes they don't. So a pre-call is made, President of the United States or the Commandant of the Marine Corps or someone would like to call. Will you accept the call? And typically they all accept the call. So he called four people the other day and expressed his condolences in the best way that he could. And he said to me, what do I say? I said to him, sir, there's nothing you can do to lighten the burden on these families. But let me tell you what I tell them. And let me tell you what my best friend, Joe Dunford, told me, because he was my casualty officer. He said, Kel, he was doing exactly what he wanted to do when he was killed. He knew what he was getting into. By joining that 1%. He knew what the possibilities were because we're at war. And when he died, in the four cases we're talking about, Niger, my son's case in Afghanistan, when he died, he was surrounded by the best men on this earth, his friends. That's what the president tried to say to four families the other day. I was stunned when I came to work yesterday morning, and brokenhearted at what I saw a member of Congress doing. A member of Congress who listened in on a phone call from the President of the United States to a young wife, and in his way tried to express that opinion. He's a brave man, a fallen hero. He knew what he was getting himself into because he enlisted. There's no reason to enlist. He enlisted. And he was where he wanted to be, exactly where he wanted to be, with exactly the people he wanted to be with when his life was taken. That was the message. That was the message that was transmitted. It stuns me that a member of Congress would have listened in on that conversation. Absolutely stuns me. And I thought, at least that was sacred.
You know, General Kelly, this member of Congress that you casually allude to as an intruder is a friend of the family, and perhaps the young wife was with exactly who she wanted to be with, knowing the call was coming. You told us that the call is pre-scheduled, and perhaps this young wife wanted to be with her husband's mentor, Congresswoman Frederica Wilson, at that exact time in her grief, driving to the airport to retrieve her husband's body. How is it that you're implying that this congresswoman is an intruder and an inappropriate person to be with this young wife who has been friends with this congresswoman who mentored her husband? And in fact, Daisha Johnson met LaDavid Johnson in middle school. Okay, they are school, what do you call that, junior high school sweethearts. And so the whole time LaDavid Johnson was going through the mentorship program that Frederica Wilson set up for these kids down in Miami Gardens, Cooper City is exactly the neighborhood, they knew this congresswoman for all these years. And perhaps this wife wanted to be with this congresswoman as she was doing something as serious as picking up her husband's coffin that was being returned to her from military service. I mean, why are you stunned? And why are you saying that this woman, this congresswoman, was an inappropriate person to be with this family? You're behaving as if she's an intruder. You know, Congress is responsible for declaring the wars. I'm not really clear why generals see themselves as being the people who, you know, are the most proficient in, dealing with family grief back home. I don't understand why General John Kelly decided to talk about his son from the... All I can tell you is he's gone from being a retired general and out of service to a political figure. And I don't think he understands exactly what that means. And what's really interesting in the recounting of the story is obviously John Kelly told President Trump what General Dunford, who was his casualty officer, meaning General Dunford showed up at John Kelly's door to tell him that his son Robert had died in Afghanistan, that he stepped on a landmine and that he was, you know, he was gone. And Dunford and Kelly are both military guys. So Dunford and Kelly obviously are friends. This is why General Dunford referred to him as Kel, and saying, your son did, you know, he was exactly where he wanted to be. You know that. This was general to general, okay? It's a different situation. That's why I say there's a difference between an enlisted guy like a sergeant, like LaDavid Johnson, and a general to a general, okay? So Dunford is a general and Kelly is a general. And yes, Dunford has to break this hideous news to General Kelly. But they're talking military guy to military guy. President Trump took from that conversation that what Dunford told Kelly and mangled it. He did not know how to talk to a Gold Star family. So he asked General Kelly, even though General Kelly says, don't do it. Don't do it. You're not the right guy to make this call. Don't do it. He does it anyway, but he says to Kelly, I don't know what to say. So Kelly tells him the story of how Dunford, General Dunford, talked to General Kelly, you know, general to general, military to military family. It's a different situation. And the president dissected and pulled what he found useful from that conversation, which was he knew what he was signing up for. That's sick and sad. And that General Kelly would throw himself on a grenade should really be, you know, no surprise because he's a soldier. He is. He's a general is what he is.
And when I listened to this woman and what she was saying and what she was doing on TV, the only thing I could do to collect my thoughts was to go and walk among the finest men and women on this earth. And you can always find them because they're in Arlington National Cemetery. Went over there for an hour and a half, walked among the stones, some of whom I put there because they were doing what I told them to do when they were killed.
Okay, this superiority thing that generals have is really something that you need to be very, very aware of, okay? They always, the idea that the soldiers died in combat is squarely on the conscience of Congress. They're the ones that vote for the authority, to give the authority to the president to declare war, okay? So it's a little misplaced, I put them there. No. The president of the United States and Congress put them there. It's a little strange, though, the military view of all this. He went to walk in Arlington because he had to talk himself into being a good soldier. And a good soldier falls on his sword. And that's what John Kelly did today. And yes, it's very emotional, but it's also unforgivable. The president called this congresswoman a liar and then sent John Kelly out to call her an intruder, even though she knew this family better than anyone in the White House. Go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.